Well, turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We'll begin our lesson this morning in this passage. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope," it says, "and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." I want you to think today, if you will, consider a life without Christ. We just read of all that we should be blessed, that we should look at as a blessing, as our Lord and Savior came to this earth. But consider, if you will, for a moment, what our lives would be without him. What if Christ did not come to this earth? What if Christ did not suffer and die upon that cross? Can you imagine, if you will, a life without that? There are those that choose to reject the scriptures, to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a life that you live outside of the body of faith. Imagine, if you will, without Christ, what kind of life that would be. I want us to consider a few points today about that kind of atmosphere that we might have if it was not for Christ being here. A life without Christ would be a life without true meaning. Whenever we come to think about passages of Scripture like John chapter 10, and if you turn your Bibles back over to John chapter 10, and notice with me there in verses 7 through 10, he says, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief," it says, "though, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Without Christ, we would not have purpose. Christ is what gives us life. It's what gives us something, a goal to reach, a purpose in our lives. You know, I've had many times that I've had people say, "I just don't know what my purpose in life is." And all we have to do is open up the Holy Scriptures and read from God's Word, and we realize and can recognize what that purpose in our lives is. But without Christ, there is no purpose. Whenever we look at John chapter 15 and verse 5 there, it says we can't do anything without him. Whenever you look at that and read what he says there, and notice there in verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." When you make that comparison of a vine and the branches that proceed out of the vine, if that vine were to be cut off at the ground level, the branches would not survive, because the nutrients, the very life that those branches need come from that vine from within. And without it, they would wither and die. We can make that comparison and we can see it so clearly. And Jesus says, "I am that vine." And without that vine, we would all wither and die. We find in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, one of the things that Paul said there to the church in Philippi, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There are many things, you know, the class that Kyle was teaching this morning, and the whole thought about fear. And if we have Christ, if we just realize that we're not alone in going and talking to others, we're not alone in serving our Lord, We have Christ by our side. Christ will lead us. You recall that there's a poem about the footsteps of Jesus. And it talks about, I think it's called Footprints, I believe is the way the poem is. And it talks about how that we go through life and we see two sets of prints. And then after a while, when trouble comes our way, when trials and temptations come our way, when fear sits in, then we only saw one set of prints upon the sand. And for some people, they think, well, Jesus has left me alone in during those trying moments. But no, when it concludes in the poem that it is not Christ that has left us, but that Christ has actually carried us through those trying times. And so I can understand when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we just realize that Christ is always with us, we can gain that inner strength to do the things that are necessary to be done in our lives. And then when we think about this life without Christ, what would our lives be without a model to imitate, without an example to follow? And there's no better or no greater example than that of Christ himself. Whenever we look at passages like Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, where it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, recognizing that that passage of Scripture was written to Christians. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect except for the sinless Son of God. There is no greater example upon this earth for us to follow than he himself. And so when we think about all of us, that we're all sinners, but there's one, Christ was not. And then we think about other passage. When you look at 1 Peter, turn your Bibles back over to 1 Peter, and I want to look at chapter 2 of that passage there. In 1 Peter 2, 1, and I'm not going to read all of this, 21 through 23 I will, but when we read there it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us, he says, an example, that you should follow his steps. Now why it is so important here for the writer to make this statement? Because he says there in verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He gives us here the thoughts and the very personality of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who did no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. As it says there, when he suffered, he didn't threaten. He accepted what was given. The perfect example through his sufferings. In Hebrews chapter 5, when you turn back over to Hebrews chapter 5, and we notice here in verses 8 and 9 of this passage, it says, though he was a son, he was deity. He was part of the Godhead and still is and always will be and always was. But though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author, it says, of eternal life. And as it goes on to say there, of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Again, we see here the very evidence of who we need to be following after. But if Christ were not, if it was without Christ, who would we imitate? Whoever lived their life upon this earth, even would come close to how Christ lived his life on this earth. Whenever we look at John chapter 15 and verse 13, one of the things that it says there, no greater love than this than a friend, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Who was Jesus making reference to there? He was making reference to himself. The greatest love that was ever demonstrated to any one giving person was the love that Christ demonstrated when he willingly went to that cross and suffered and died upon that cross. That's sacrifice. And again, there is no greater example than that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But without him, we wouldn't have that example. We wouldn't have direction in our lives without Christ. When we consider the instructions that Jesus gives us in John chapter 8 and verse 12, there he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, he says, but have the light of life. I've always considered when I read passages like this, I think of those times at night when I'm trying to keep lights low. I get up at 5 in the morning and I'm trying to get around the house without waking anyone else up in the house. And I stub my toes so many times because I can't see my way. Even though furniture's not been moved, I still end up running into it. But Jesus, and just using that comparison, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. We don't have to fear darkness anymore because, see, Jesus brings everything to light. But without Jesus, there is no light. We find in Psalm 119 and 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, he says. Again, without Christ, there is no lamp, there is no light. We stumble around in darkness. In John chapter 6, turn your Bibles back over to, again, back over to the book of John. And I want us to look at chapter 6, if you will. And we're going to read verses 66 through 69 of that passage there. And notice with me, beginning in verse 66, it talks about it. And of course, here we find that there was great, there was a lot of enemies of Christ that were coming upon him. And it says there, and there was a lot of, and again, it kind of goes back to the class we had this morning of those that were in fear of being seen with Jesus. And so it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Well, Jesus, he turned to the 12 disciples, the 12 that he had hand chosen. And he turned to them, and he saw these other multitudes of people leaving him. And he looks to them and he says, do you also want to go away? But here, notice what Simon Peter, the answer he gave. None of the 12 disciples left him. Throughout all of his ministry, they remained with him. And one of the things is, we find Peter making this statement. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? If Christ is not our direction, whom shall we look to for that direction? He says, whom shall we go? He says, you have the words of eternal life. There is no other. Who are we going to look to? Are we going to look to Satan? Does Satan offer us eternal life? By no means. Satan is the Lord of darkness. There is no light in him. And if we don't follow after Christ, who will we follow? Christ has the words of eternal life. Then we stop and think that if it was not for Christ coming to this earth, if it wasn't for Christ suffering and dying upon that cross, shedding his precious blood, now, we just gave a memorial service. A memorial service where it reminded us of that great sacrifice of love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The breaking of his body. The shedding of his blood. the implements that we use there, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. It reminds us weekly of the very sacrifice of our Lord and Savior and what it offered to us. It offered forgiveness. But if he had not died on that cross, if he didn't willingly go to that death, there would be no forgiveness. Our sins would continue us on. We find in Isaiah chapter 59, turning back over there, just what sin does to us and how important it is that we do not continue in sin, that we need that precious blood and that death on that cross to have forgiveness of our sins. Because see, what we find in chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2, the writer here says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." But notice here in verse 2 it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." See, this is why it is so important to understand how much we need Christ in our lives. If it was not for Christ, there would be no forgiveness of sins. And sin is what separates us from God. It's what separated Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and from God's presence was their sin. And from that day that the first sin was committed, God has placed in order his plan of redemption of man. And that involved Christ Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, it is all about Christ and our redemption. It is all about saving man from his sins. But if Christ was not, had not died on that cross, had not shed his blood, where would man be in his sins? In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul makes a statement there, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That was his purpose. Another passage tells us that Jesus says, those who are well, who are spiritually healthy, do not need a physician, but those who are sick do. Christ is our physician. Christ is the one that through his blood gave us the prescription which saves us from our sins. Turn your Bibles, if you will, back over into the New Testament now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7. And notice there he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Now keep that in mind. Everything that we are blessed with is because of Christ. He says, "Just as he chose us in him," that is in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us," or not, and again, I use that word very cautiously because it doesn't mean, as some people believe, that, you know, there's only a handful of people that God has chosen and that handful is all that's going to be saved. It is through our obedience to God that we are saved. But he predestined, in other words, he predetermined in his mind that through his Son, mankind would be saved. So he predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. But again, notice there that in order to be called sons and daughters of God, the Father, it requires Christ. We cannot be a part of the family of God without Christ. Everything is through him and by him and for him, according to the good pleasure of his will. This was God's plan, that he would send his son. Even though we were sinful, even though many rejected him, God still sent his son to this earth so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. But without Christ, without God's great love and mercy, we would not have it. And then we think about this idea of hope. You know, every one of us, I truly believe, have come here today because we have that hope within us. A hope of eternal life with God in heaven. A hope of redemption. A hope of salvation. But without Christ, there is no hope. None whatsoever. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 there, we find Paul making this statement. He says, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. There is no hope for man without Christ. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 there, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. It was all in God's plan. When God created the earth and put man upon the earth, it was his hopes that man would someday spend eternity spiritually with him in heaven. Before the world began, it all began. And then we look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 there, and notice verses 3 through 9, we find there, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. See, it required our Lord and Savior suffering, dying, shedding his blood, being buried in a tomb, arising the third day from that tomb, victorious over death. That it gives us that hope that one day we will rise to be with him in heaven. As he goes on to say there, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It is reserved, he says, in heaven for all of us, for each and every one, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And he goes on there, and notice he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And who of us has not been grieved by various trials? We all do. But see, we look forward to, through those trials, we look forward to a better place, a better home, eternal in the heavens with God. But again, I say, without Christ, without his great sacrifice, where would man be? What hope would we have? We would go through these trials with no hope in our lives of a better place. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, he says. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a wonderful thing to think about, a home in heaven with God. In Revelation, we find that it is revealed unto John what heaven, a kind of a glimpse of what heaven is like. And it talks about all the trials of this life. They're not going to be there. All that's going to be taken away. The death, the sorrows, the pain, the crying, the anxieties. All of these things will be taken away. and we will rejoice with God in heaven. But without Christ in our lives, without his precious blood being shed for my forgiveness of sins, that hope would be wiped away. It requires my faith in him. Jesus has done his part. God has done his part. He sent his son to suffer and die. His son willingly went to that cross, having the nails driven through his hands and his feet, shedding his precious blood and dying on that cross to give us hope, to give us forgiveness of sins, to give us a model to follow, to give us purpose in life, and to witness through faith of his resurrection, knowing that the promise is given unto each and every one of us of the very same promise, that in the day of judgment, we will be raised with him in heaven to live eternally. But it takes faith and obedience unto God without any doubts in our minds. If you are here today, the example is set before us of how that we can lead this life upon this earth. I encourage you, I urge you, that if you've never obeyed the gospel, let today be the day of your salvation. Make the right decision.